Hello, 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 and welcome to the Grant Writing and Funding Podcast, where we help passionate people create stable income with flexible schedules by getting ideal nonprofit clients with the best grant writing and nonprofit sales strategies in the industry. My name is Holly Rustick, and I went from working 50 plus hours per week as a grant writer inside a nonprofit, living paycheck to paycheck, to opening my own freelance grant writing business and only working part-time hours, earning more than I ever had before. Inside our programs, the Freelance Grant Writer Academy and the Grant Professional Mentorship, I have helped more than 100 changemakers get out of toxic 9-to-5 jobs and replace their full-time incomes while working part-time as a grant writer from home and around the world, simply by learning how to write grants through our grants writing formula and implementing our unique approach to nonprofit sales. Join these aspiring and seasoned grant writers so you too can secure ideal nonprofit clients with cause areas that you fully believe in, get them massive funding, and be able to set your own schedule and revenue goals. Be sure to join our weekly email newsletter, the Freelance Grant Writer Hub Haven, where you get stress-free nuggets on the financial stability components and skills of being a freelance grant writer. Plus, you get updates about the Freelance Grant Writer Academy. Just go to grantwritingandfunding.com to subscribe. And now let's get ready for the most bold, empowering, and approachable coaching and conversations you've ever heard. Let's create a higher standard of stability, freedom, and legacy together. Hello, hello, hello. It's Holly Rustick here, and we have another bonus episode for you because the doors are open right now to the Freelance Grant Writer Academy, our 12-month group coaching signature program that helps new and seasoned grant writers replace their full-time income on flexible hours writing grants from home or anywhere in the world. And we have another bonus today with Carrie, who is from Philly, and they are going to tell you about their experience today in the academy and how they are able to receive, just in a few months, $142,000 in grant funding and $31,750 in income in their business by implementing our ethical nonprofit sales strategy and our unique industry concepts so they figure out their service offer and their pricing. And they're going to talk about that today. So amazing. I love it. I love it. So if you are looking to join the Freelance Grant Writer Academy, you are definitely going to want to do that because the doors do close Sunday, May 12th at midnight. So you guys are going to want to jump over there. And it is a 12-month group coaching program. You get support, you get curriculum. In the first 30 days, you will go through our 30-day Master Grant Application Template Challenge, where you will learn how to set up a grant template in 30 days. If you're new to grant writing, it is a great way to learn how to write grants. And if you're already a seasoned grant writer, it is a great way to set up systems in your grant writing business so you can onboard clients quickly and save time writing grants because you're able to pull it from the template. At the end of that 30 days, you can submit the Master Grant template for review and we give you customized feedback. And you're going to be able to jump inside all of the business acumen. So just like Carrie, who already had a freelance grant writing business going on, but wanted systems, wanted to figure out pricing and get more clear on pricing, who they were serving, get systems in place for sales, and just learned how to overcome objections that nonprofit client leads had. You are going to learn everything in our business acumen with our specific strategies, especially our ethical nonprofit sales strategy, our unique industry concept to develop your service offer, and our value-based pricing to get clear on your pricing and to be able to stand behind it 100% so you never give a discount again. We also help you, if you're working full-time already, create a plan so you can transition into freelance grant writing and even be able to secure your current 9-to-5 as an anchor client. We have weekly live coaching on Zoom. We also have a daily Slack channel where you can submit any questions and so much more. We have unlimited grant reviews, unlimited business reviews, and all of our curriculum and systems. The investment for the Freelance Grant Writer Academy is one payment of $2,500 or 12 monthly payments of $250. You can get inside right now, but the doors do close on Sunday, May 12th. So jump over to grantwritingandfunding.com/freelance-academy. And for all of today's show notes, go to grantwritingandfunding.com/332 so you can find out more about Carrie. Here's Carrie.
Yeah, so welcome, Carrie. And you're also the CEO of Carrie Collins Consulting. So we'll have all of the links in the show notes. So welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so really excited. So tell me a little bit about your journey into grant writing.
Sure. Yeah. So I think like most people didn't ever intend to be like a full-time grant writer. But I've been in kind of the nonprofit world for my whole career. And kind of doing a lot of different stuff like you do. You get whatever nonprofit job you get, back and forth between like fundraising stuff, operations stuff. I also took a little, what ended up being kind of a detour where I went to seminary. I got that degree. I thought that might be a way I was going with my life. And then honestly, just as a like openly transgender person was like, oh wait, that's not a fun environment to be in. Like that really was a little hostile. So came back into the nonprofit world to find places that where I didn't have to spend my whole career just advocating for the fact that I was allowed to work there. And then from that kind of bouncing through sort of a series of different nonprofit jobs, I was actually the operations director for a community center that was like run out of a historic church building where I was like, wow, look at me. I'm bringing all the like threads together here of all the stuff that I've done before. And I ran into that kind of issue that I think you talk about all the time, Holly, with nonprofit staff where like my job description just kept getting bigger and bigger. And there like was never a raise coming. The board was always sort of complaining about like, wow, we don't have any money. Where are we going to get it? Meanwhile, like I'm like driving revenue for the organization. I'm expanding programs. I'm like doing all this stuff. And they're like, I don't know, maybe we could like, I was working part-time for them even still. They're like, maybe we could bring you up like 30 hours a week. Like, and I was of course over that and just not getting paid for it. And it was so frustrating. And then coincidentally, through one of the organizations that used that community center, they got connected to a grant writing consultant. And that person came on and was like, well, you know, I need someone to do a little extra now that I'm bringing on more clients. So they brought me in to sort of help with this organization I already worked for. And then I just did this sort of like slow switcheroo where I left the organization that was not valuing me because they were in that same trap that nonprofits are always in, and moved into this grant writing consultant that this other person was doing and kind of subcontracted out more and more. And really just built up so much confidence in there, kind of working with a variety of clients to be like, oh, I have this expertise now from this whole nonprofit career that I've had. And that I'd always been a strong writer. Like it wasn't hard to kind of figure out what grants are and how they work. They are very kind of formulaic. Mm-hmm. And then last summer, I just spun off on my own. Like there was enough work and the person I was subcontracting for like didn't want to just grow a giant empire. They were like, yeah, please take some clients. And then that's when I, this January, wanted to come into the academy to be like, okay, now how do I do like the business side of it? Because I hadn't had to do that before. And it's been so great just having this like world of resources and network there. To feel like I like really know what I'm doing. On that business side of things, where the grant side, I feel like so confident and like solid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much. Thanks for sharing that story too, because I think a lot of people will resonate with it. Like that is so true as far as getting more and more dumped on you, but like you weren't even working 30 hours. Like, oh, maybe up to, you're right. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. Like we were like, yeah, but I've brought in like $1.2 million or whatever, like running the whole show. And It's interesting, isn't it? But when you did the switch, was there a different relationship then?
A thing that was really interesting there is, so, you know, I switched over. I was doing all the grant writing for this organization. Like there was a good year or so that I was working for both the grant writer and the org. I was doing all the grants. I was really running the whole thing. But because I had been working at that org for so long, they had gotten used to really seeing me in this really limited way. And mm-hmm. I am, because frankly, because they were paying me so little for so few hours, they were undervaluing my skills. Yes. And so I would show up with these like amazing grants I'd written, you know, full budgets that I developed mm-hmm. because I'd been developing the budgets, because I'd been running, you know, all the stuff I'd already been doing for years running the organization. And I'd bring it to the board and they'd kind of be like, oh, did that person we hired do this? Wow, she's so great. She's so amazing. Or like that person would come to a board meeting to like do the presentation and all the board members would just be like rapt, like, oh, wow, this expert is here to help us. And we'd get off the call and like the grant writer who I was working with knew I did all that, recognized that, respected me for what I was doing, was paying me way better than the org was paying me. And like once I reflected back to her, like, hey, it feels like my work is being sort of like thrown out the window by this board. Like, I hate that. Yeah. And she was like, yeah, I like see that happening. And so I was like, I got to get out of there. Like yeah. all these other clients that I was working with treated me like an expert on those calls, recognized that I knew what I was doing, that I was bringing them success. And that was so eye-opening.
Yeah.
Having that kind of like immediate just comparison of like getting off this like really frustrating board meeting at this organization I'd worked for years and then turning around and like getting on a client meeting with someone I'd met a month ago who was just like, please solve my whole life, you're the one who knows what you're doing. Like
it always happens. It's like I've seen it time that I've experienced it, and it is like such a different, like I say, even when, and that's why I say all grant writers must become freelance grant writers. Like I totally believe that, our grant professionals, whatever you want to call it, because even if it's one client, we need to step up into that light, right? We need to have that level of relationship. And it's so different than being a staff grant writer. It's just, you might feel like, oh, but my boss loves me and I'm respected, but it is going to be an entirely different relationship. And mm-hmm. I think it's so empowering for us too, because we are taken advantage of a lot as staff grant writers, just as you explained, right? Like, oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
So proud of you for getting out of that, because the other thing too is a lot of people, because they still believe in the cause of the nonprofit and all of that, they start to feel like, I shouldn't leave. I should just like devalue this. You know what I mean? This is just normal. And I feel like that's where that toxicity comes into, is when we start like feeling like we deserve to be treated like that because we're a martyr for the cause, and that's not really healthy, right? So
absolutely. No, I loved that organization. I worked there from a real place of passion. Mm-hmm. And there was definitely a time when I was like, you know, I'm going to be here long term. Like this is going to be my career. I'm going to kind of build out the job I want to have there. And it just got to a point that I realized that the board was not sharing that vision with me, and was not like, you know, they didn't have an actual executive director, so I was the de facto without but they'd sit there in board meetings and be like, we just need an executive director to come like save us, and I'm like, I'm literally taking notes in your meeting, and like the disconnect and the disrespect was like, it was too much. So
I totally resonate. That was my world too. Acting director. Yep. And so now that you went, so you were subcontracting, then you came in, now you have your own thing. You came in the academy. What has been the most useful for you in the academy? You know, we have a lot of different features. We have a lot of different things that we do. We do unlimited grant reviews, business reviews, the Slack channel. Like, there's a lot. But what do you say? Like, okay, this has really changed my business a lot.
Yeah. So for me, the whole like set of like lessons around like the business, the sales, the marketing piece has mm-hmm. been like so crucial, because especially all my like work experience is nonprofits. So mm-hmm. sales is one of those words that's like very intimidating. Be like, and so to just have that library of like videos and resources that I could go to, I just had like for a couple weeks, I was like, all right, every morning, I'm just gonna fire up like what's kind of the next video, to just start getting myself into that like mindset shift. And then also to really sit down with because I'd spun off from another consultant, like I kind of had like her packages, her pricing, like the kind of thing she'd been doing, but to actually sit down and be like, okay, but what do I want to do? Yeah. And like, how do I construct this for myself? Mm-hmm. And so to have all of your materials about like how to value yourself, how to price yourself, and especially to get out of that kind of hourly pricing mindset, because that has like chafed on me for a while, because mm-hmm. the longer you work with a client, the quicker you get.
And yeah. So I have, and you're turning left.
I can turn a grant around for them in like 2 or 3 hours at this point, because I've written 30 of them. Like it's all kind of right there. It's a lot of copy and paste. And I don't want to charge them for just 3 hours for a whole grant like that. So mm-hmm. to be able to really get into like the value-based pricing system and to figure out, and to then be able to like take it and get that business plan reviewed immediately, get immediate feedback on what I'm thinking, has just been so good for helping me feel confident that I'm not just kind of like recreating someone else's business here, but that I'm doing something that makes sense for me, for the clients that I want to serve, for the niche that I want to be in. That I've just like loved, and it's been amazing. Yeah.
Oh, I love that so much. And yeah, and I, it's so great too, because yeah, we have templates and formulas and systems and methods and stuff like that, but we're always on the base of, first, who are you though? What's your goal? And who do you want to work with? Because that you can't just copy and paste like this whole pitch either. It, like, you know what I mean? Like this is an example, and we can tell you how to use the formula based on who you want to serve, where you're located, how it makes sense to you. So there's still that individuality and uniqueness to it that I think is so good, because it makes you deep dive like you did and be like, but wait, who am I? How do I want to run my business? So I can stand behind it 100%, right? And feel like, yeah. Why are you priced like that? I don't know, because somebody gave me that price, right? Like, no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I love that. So have you found like you've changed how you price, and you've changed, like you talked about going to packages or retainers, not just hourly, but also just the thought process around that?
Yeah. So I sort of inherited a version of a monthly retainer that frankly was underpriced. Yeah. It was not enough for what was kind of included in it. And that I knew even coming into it was sort of just grants have a rhythm. And so there's not always the same work every month. And so that was already feeling like an issue, where sometimes I'm like, well, this isn't a great fit, but I don't have anything else because it's February. So I guess I'm gonna do that. And so I've actually shifted to something that's more like a 6 or 12 month limited container, where we identify up front, this is what we want to work on. And maybe that is 3 grants that fall in 1 month, and then there's 2 months with nothing. And we've kind of divided that up, but so that there's a little more of that kind of agreement up front. And I'm not just in this like monthly treadmill of, now I'm back on instrumental, like, oh my God, what am I doing? I don't have anything. So that's something that's been really nice. And it's also, I've started looking at what all the extras in the package are, because I work with a lot of smaller or startup nonprofits who like have never done an annual budget before. They don't have a strategic plan. They've barely written a job description, like a lot of stuff that just comes up for grants. And before I was kind of just, well, if the grant needs me to attach that, I guess I got to do it for this grant, and kind of throwing it in there. And now I'm being more strategic at the start of like, here's the whole checklist of everything we might need to create. Let's prioritize that and then build that into the price, as these are extras that I will happily do for you, and you need to pay for those to be made. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I love that so much, and that you really took that to say, you know, because I remember you getting coaching on that actually in the Slack channel, bringing that up about, hey, because a lot of people do that. They're like, I said I would submit 2 grants a month or 3 grants a month, and now like there's not. So I'm just going to say, how is it? I don't have a good fit. But they feel like they need to like check the box. So I love that pullback, because that's what we say is, no, do retainers for at least 6 months up to 12, and build out your calendar first. And then, you know, and it's not at the last minute getting a grant thrown at you, or you know how to say, well, this is our calendar. This is what we prioritized, right? But also the flexibility of what you mentioned of here's some other deliverables that may be included throughout the year, and we will prioritize those, you know, as they need to go. So maybe you said, we're going to write between the range of grants instead of 10 grants. Like it might be between 8 to 12, because you know what? We also did a strategic plan. So now we're just going to do the 8 grants. So it gives you the flexibility on retainer to customize with tools that you already have, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just like, always new stuff either, which can throw you in a tailspin. So,
yeah. It's been so useful in the academy to really like delineate all of these things as separate deliverables.
Yeah.
Because I've so often just thought of it as like, well, it's an attachment on a grant. And like, it is. But no, like making a whole logic model for that program is a lot of work. Like, it is useful outside of being attached to this grant. And so having that reminder, like, no, that's a totally separate piece that should be counted as such, has been really like validating, and also, yeah, really make sure that I'm more balanced in my business and like actually charging for the work that I'm doing.
I love it. I love it. So speaking of that, you said you raised your rates. Have you done that within the program after going through the value-based pricing? Were you able to kind of relook at your rates a bit?
Yes. So I haven't, just because of where I am in contracts with clients, like I haven't done it with the clients that I'm with, but I'm currently right now in a renegotiation with one of those existing clients looking at that 6 or 12 month plan. So we're going to find a new price there that will be kind of in line with my new rates. The other thing I'm doing is I'm actually writing grants for current clients that will let them come up to my new rates. Because they're clients who I know that they're tiny, they have a really tight budget, and they need this capacity building. I can find them capacity building grants. And so I kind of go to them. I'm like, look, we can do like a $20,000 like strategic planning package that gives you all of this stuff. And we'll write this grant to get that funded. And then if that gets funded, you get to hire me for that. And that's also the kind of thing that like before I would have been like, maybe I'll throw in like $1,000 to cover a month of the retainer or something. But now I'm really thinking about in terms of where can I help them expand to get into these larger packages that now I'm kind of putting together.
I love that. I love that so much. And does that go back to like the service offer promise and the unique industry concept? Is that where you kind of came up with that? Like, because we're always having you think, don't just throw deliverables together and call it a day and put a price on it. But like, where do you want to get the nonprofit? What do you need to do to get them there?
Yeah. I think that you and I remember we did like a back and forth where I really sat down and wrote like, what is the whole like 3 or 4 year journey that a client can go on with me? Because it isn't just like, okay, I orient you and then we write grants forever, but that I'm really looking at their organizational growth. And so, so that's where I started being like, okay, if they haven't done any of these other kind of deliverables before, I would like to do that for them. And how can that fit into this in addition to just getting, you know, the kind of project funding for whatever it is that they came for? Yeah.
Right. It's looking at the vision of the nonprofit as well, and the full mission, right? Not just like a project. So I love that. I remember that, the back and forth in the 3 to 4 years. And I thought that's super good that you're looking so far in advance, especially when we think about, we're recommending like 6 to 12 month contracts. Like that's only one cycle. It could be one or two cycles, you know, in a year. So we do need to look long-term and say, well, where do we want to get them? So smart for you to do that. I know even in somebody else I talked to yesterday, and we talked about this, is working with startups, smaller nonprofits. And I was like, maybe your service offer promise, and this is such a great thing, was we're going to get you your first $5,000 to $10,000 grants, right? We're going to get you these and start you there. And then we're going to get you, the next one was, we're going to get you your first federal grant. So it was like the whole process, right? So there's like these, not just like, we're going to get you $1 million, but no, we're actually going to bring you through this journey. So good. So talking numbers, so far in the academy, just in a few months that you've been in, you've raised over $142,000 in grant funding. Hello, you got that. And you've also gotten $31,750 in your business and revenue sales. So yay, like clapping hands and applauding to you. That's amazing. So good. I'm so glad that you're able to tap into those resources, being able to get, you know, help. I mean, you've already been a grant writer before you came in. There's that. We have the grant reviews and really setting up your clients as well. So yeah. So can you tell us anything else besides, like, I love all of this, like where you've gotten in the academy, anything else that someone's not sitting on the fence right now going, maybe I should join. Maybe they're similar to you, some grant writing experience, but not feeling valued at their nonprofit. Like, what would you say to them if they're thinking about this?
Yeah. I think that also, you know, the thing we haven't discussed is the community in the academy is really valuable. I just kind of have a Slack tab open all the time now because I just love kind of keeping up with what's going on. And it's been like, it's so often that like someone else will kind of show up and be like, hey, I have this question, or like in the like mindset channel, like I'm feeling frustrated with this thing. And I'm like, oh, I hadn't articulated that, but yes, I also am experiencing that. And we're able to kind of just bounce that off each other. And like being a freelancer, a consultant who works from home, I spend a lot of my workday alone. I maybe get on a Zoom call with a client. But so having that feeling of community of other people who are in the same line of work is really valuable. And it gives me, I get so much perspective from the other people who are in the academy and from just sharing our experiences with one another. And I haven't even like brought someone else into subcontract or vice versa or any of that. And I expect that will kind of come down the line as well. And yeah, even just being on like a discovery call with a client and being able to say, well, you know, that's a little outside of my area of expertise, but I know all these other grant writers, lets me feel like I'm not shutting conversation down either, so that I could then get on Slack and be like, you know, actually, here's this environmental org. I don't know anything about their mission. Does anyone else do this? And potentially refer over. Yeah, it just helps me feel like I have a world of kind of those resources available to me that otherwise would be a little hard to kind of put together like one person at a time.
Right. No, I love that so much. And I totally resonate with that with you too, about like having the community. My Slack's always open too. So I love to see all the conversations and just to not feel isolated, right? Because just normally, like a lot of us, we're working from home all the time. Like it's me and my cat, right? And it's what it's about. So it is nice to have that. And also in the line of work, going through similar challenges and also celebrating together. Like, I love it when there's a win and everyone's like confetti's and all the things, right? Because you might say to your family, like, oh my gosh, I won a $20,000 grant today. And they're like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah. No, I love the wins channel precisely for that. Because, yeah, it is this sort of like seeing everyone else get wins and then getting to like celebrate that stuff is so much fun. Yeah. With people who like know what it means and know what the work was. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, you got $20,000. They know it, or you got the client. Oh my gosh, like, yeah. So love that so much that you brought up the community as well. So I love seeing you in the community. So anything else you want to share before we get off today? People reach you. Yeah
So my website is very easy. It's linked, it's carrie-collins.com. It's spelled a little weird, so check that description for that. Yeah, I work with, I love the small, the startup nonprofits. I'm really kind of across the board, issue area wise. Like, I like doing a lot of different stuff. And there is some space in my book, so people can definitely reach out if they're interested as well.
So you're focusing on small startup nonprofits, getting them into a lot of their first grants and building up to federal grant readiness. Is that kind of your focus? And then all cause areas. Yeah. And then where are you physically located again?
I am in Philadelphia.
That's right.
And I work with a lot of Philly nonprofits, so I do especially know that kind of local funding landscape really well. But I've worked with people across the country. So.
Yeah. And you heard it here. Carrie said also like, yeah, come on, because even if you don't have it, you can refer out to somebody within the academy, or you also looking at, I love that you're considering subcontracting at some point soon too. Yeah. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I love seeing you in the academy, and I'll see you there really soon. But thanks for sharing everything, because I just love all the work that you're putting in, and I'm just seeing it really pay off, the confidence, like all of the things, and just the love and support that you give to the community. So thank you, Carrie, and I'll see you back inside the academy. Yeah. See you all over the show notes today to find where Carrie is, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for you.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed today's bonus podcast episode with Carrie Collins, who is doing amazing in the Grant Writer Academy. We absolutely, an investment of $2,500, already look at like 10xing like a million times to $31,750 in just under 4 months. Plus securing $142,000 in grants, and was able to utilize our unlimited grant reviews and all of our systems for our business acumen and sales systems. The doors to the Freelance Grant Writer Academy do close on Sunday, May 12th at midnight. So go ahead and jump over to grantwritingandfunding.com/freelance-academy. And for all of today's show notes and more about Carrie, go over to grantwritingandfunding.com/332. All right, y'all, I'll see you inside the Academy.